Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Northern Ireland Assembly has been told variations in economic and social conditions on either side of the border mean life expectancy is different between Fermanagh and Donegal. Donegal County Council is currently debating a motion that meetings of the authority's Defective Concrete Blocks Committee be live-streamed. The motion has sparked a lengthy debate. Earlier, two homeowners protested outside the chamber, calling on councillors to support the proposal. We'll hear from them both. Meanwhile, a proposed public lighting policy has been opposed at today's plenary meeting of Donegal County Council on the basis that it would restrict public lighting to urban speed zone areas only. Later in the bulletin, we'll have sports news with Oisín. That's coming up at around about 5:45. But we begin this evening with comments in the Assembly today. The Northern Ireland Assembly at Stormont told that variations in economic and social conditions on either side of the border mean life expectancy is different between Fermanagh and Donegal. Speaking on a Sinn Féin motion noting the ESRI's report assessing economic trends on the island of Ireland, Fermanagh and South Tyrone MLA Gemma Dolan said the report shows there's a distinct difference between her home in Beleek and just across the border in Donegal.
Life expectancy is a valuable measurement for long-term outcomes as it reflects how well public services are performing and the socio-economic environment people are living in. Again, the results show the North is behind, with men and women living 2 years and 1.5 years less, respectively. Putting this into perspective, this means that people living in Ballyshannon live longer than people living in Beleek, just 9 minutes apart.
Donegal County Council is currently debating a motion that meetings of the authority's Defective Concrete Blocks Committee be live-streamed. The motion, put forward by Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, has sparked a lengthy debate. Two homeowners affected by defective concrete staged a demonstration outside County Council offices in Lifford this morning before the plenary meeting got underway. They were there to highlight the need for the council to live stream the meetings. Well, Mary Connors and first Kathleen Bryant spoke to Donna Marie Doherty.
I'm here in support of the Redress Party's motion today to put forward that they're asking for live stream of the defective block meetings, which we need it for transparency, and with transparency comes along accountability. And every defective homeowner deserves this. We need to know what's going on in these meetings, and we need to know who's working for us and who isn't working for us.
And whenever we had just come in there, you showed me your sign now. So on one side it has handwritten transparency, live stream defective blocks meetings, but the other side then you said
the other side was support Mica home owners, 100% redress. And this is the same plaque that I carried in Dublin in the march back in 2020, I think it was. And 6 years on, here we are still.
And what's your name?
Mary Connors.
And Marie, you're here for the same reason today?
Yes, to support having the meeting streamlined. We need that. People need to know what's going on. There are changes constantly happening with the scheme, and people aren't informed. Councillors are being bombarded with, questions about different changes coming from housing, and people don't know the answer. So we need to have these meetings streamed. It was really a disgrace that they stopped streaming them, because we were used to watching them and staying up to date.
And that was Mary Connors, and first of all, Kathleen Bryant there speaking to Donna Marie Doherty at County House in Lifford. Donna Marie is still in County House monitoring what's happening. That debate on that motion, as we said, is still going on. There was actually an adjournment to allow members meet in their party groupings for a brief period to discuss their response. It's a very lengthy debate on this particular motion. If we do get a resolution to that debate and a decision by council before this bulletin ends, we will of course be bringing it to you. As I say, Donna Marie and Katie are both in Lifford monitoring what's happening there. But we'll move on to another issue that was discussed at today's plenary meeting of Donegal County Council, that of a public lighting policy. And a proposed policy was opposed by members at today's plenary because it would have restricted public lighting to urban speed zone areas only. Councillor Martin McDermott said that as Donegal is a largely rural county, many townlands would be excluded under the proposals. He also expressed concern for rural dangerous junctions, schools and GAA clubs in villages across the county that might require lighting but wouldn't qualify if number 5 in the draft policy were in fact passed. Councillor McDermott questioned how that policy made it to the council chamber at all. He said it was just a wasted hour of discussion. He outlined his objectives, objections and concerns to Donemary.
I think that having a policy that says that we only will facilitate lighting in urban areas is just unworkable for a county like Donegal. The vast majority of our areas are rural, and I think there's no way that we can pass such a policy here that stops, particularly if you look at rural parts where you have dangerous junctions, we have schools, we have community centres. All that is in rural Ireland, and we cannot pass a policy here that stops the inclusion of public lighting in rural parts. And, you know, it's, to be honest with you, I think it's very unfair that even that policy would be put in front of councillors. I don't see how any councillor in that chamber that represents the people of Donegal would pass that policy. And there's quite a number of other items on that policy as well that I do have concerns around, you know, in relation to public lighting and the policy going forward for planning and stuff like that. But item number 5 is the one that I think has to come out of that before that policy would even be re-looked at.
Looking at it, I think anyone on the street would have known that that would be no good for the county. So it's a big sort of drain on resources as well, having even to discuss it.
Absolutely. We spent an hour discussing a policy that was never going to be passed the minute you read it. I mean, all councillors from every party was in favour of what I said in relation to that policy. Seconded by Councillor Ali Farn from the 100% redress. There's no way that we could stand by and allow that policy. And it beggars belief, and I suppose it asks questions as to why that policy even got as far as full council.
And that was Councillor Mark McDermott there speaking to Donemary, as we said. Enterprise Ireland-backed companies created more than 12,000 new jobs last year. The agency says its client firms attracted €440 million in overseas investment in 2025. Employment by client companies in the Northwest grew 1.6% to 7,365 jobs in total. Almost 70% of all new jobs, the agency says, were created outside Dublin. Over 1,000 overseas contracts were secured, but companies here say costs remain high. Enterprise Minister Peter Burke says several areas of the economy have seen significant growth.
Well, first of all, it's not about businesses wanting to grow. Businesses are growing. Look at the evidence, all 13 sectors of the economy growing strongly, some in double-digit growth in some key sectors, and Irish government are putting in the building blocks for that growth. We have a record budget this year in capital expenditure, about €19.1 billion will be deployed in our economy. And if you consider just 2 years ago, we're spending about 12.4. So that's an increase of 54% in 2 years. I don't know any European economy that's keeping that pace with capital investment.
Well, Jenny Melia is the CEO of Enterprise Ireland. She says their client base is diverse.
69% of those jobs located outside Dublin. It was a challenging year, but it shows the ambition and the resilience and the determination of the clients. And I think it also speaks as well to the diversity of the client base.
There were 127 patients admitted to hospitals without beds in the Northwest this morning. That's according to figures released earlier today by the INMO. Letterkenny University Hospital alone saw 64 patients without beds. That was the third highest figure in the state this morning. Nationally, 660 patients were waiting on beds today, with the INMO saying the figures called the safety of some hospitals into question. €4.3 million has been allocated to rural water services in Donegal. Under the allocation, Rutland Ireland Group Water Scheme will be in receipt of over €2.9 million, while Rathdonnell and Soccer Group Water Scheme will receive in excess of €1.3 million. These projects will now move forward with the funding supporting the taking in charge of group water schemes, transferring responsibilities for services to the local council and ensuring long-term security, regulatory compliance and service resilience for local communities. The mother of Keane Mulready Woods has told the Special Criminal Court of the unbearable trauma visited upon her by those behind his gruesome murder. Her victim impact statement was read out at the sentence hearing of a second man who helped dispose of the dismembered remains of her 17-year-old son. This report from court's correspondent Frank Graney contains some harrowing details.
It's been 6 years since Keane Mulready Woods was brutally murdered and dismembered in a house in Drogheda. The chief suspect was murdered in Belfast a few months later. In the days after Keane Mulready Woods was murdered, some of his remains were found in two different locations in Dublin, with more found over 1 year later, not far from where he was killed. Glenn Bride of Mount Olive Park in Kilbarrack, Dublin 5, admitted assisting the offender by moving a car with some of his remains in the boot and later setting it on fire. In her victim impact statement today, Elizabeth Mulready told the court her son's body was cut up and scattered as if he was nothing, as if he didn't matter. After he was killed, she said choices were made to further disrespect him. She said he deserved to be treated as a human being, not something to be discarded. Glenn Bride will be sentenced in March.
The new Bishop of Raphoe has had his first day in the office after being installed at a special installation ceremony at St. Eunan's Cathedral in Letterkenny yesterday. During his homily at the installation, he expressed hope that faith is being restored among younger people. Bishop Codd is a native of St. Johnson. He served in several positions across Donegal, as well as lecturing for almost 20 years at St. Mary's College in Belfast. For the past 3 years, he's been Bishop of Ossory in Kilkenny, but has now taken up the leadership of his native Raphoe diocese. While speaking during his homily at yesterday's Mass, Bishop Coll says while the world remains divided and secular, he has hope that faith among younger people is growing.
Religious practice has declined. The abuse crisis has damaged trust. Beyond our shores, war and violence scars human lives, not least in Gaza, Ukraine and Sudan. And yet, many have not stopped following. Some of them may follow more quietly now, more cautiously. Faith has not disappeared, but the way people follow has changed. The question before us is not whether the church will return to the high levels of religious practice of 50 or 100 years ago. The real question is whether we are willing to follow Jesus as he calls us now, in the circumstances we actually face. It is also worth noting that even in our strongly secularized society, there are small signs of a renewed interest in the Word of God, especially among some younger people, the so-called iGens. It seems that some find the well-being focus in school, college, and wider culture threadbare, and are discovering a renewed curiosity about Scripture, a search for silence and meaning, and a willingness to listen rather than dismiss. It will be interesting to see how this trend unfolds.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with some schools football, and there was heartbreak today for Pobblescull Gweedore in the John Murphy Senior B National Schools Cup semi-final, as the Donegal side bowed out of the competition on penalties to Balla Secondary School at Ray McSherry Park in Sligo. Charlie O'Gallagher had Gweedore in front on 38 minutes, but by the 64th minute, Balla were 2-1 to the good. It took an 89th minute strike from Brian McFadgen to level up the game and force extra time. Neither side would score during that period, so penalties were required to decide who would make the final. The Donegal side missed their final spot kick as Balla won at 5-4 to progress. Cross channel, Leeds manager Daniel Farke expects Everton to kick on in the coming seasons due to the infrastructure put in place at the club. Farke takes his team to the new Hill Dickinson Stadium for the first time tonight. Leeds go into the tie 5 points above the relegation zone, and the German boss is expecting a tough challenge against a growing Everton side.
Manager of Leeds United, I don't like to praise the other clubs too much, anyhow. But it's of course also a club of huge potential, anyhow. And they have quality players, also very ambitious signing in the last summer, new environment.
Well, Everton manager David Moyes has praised Dominic Calvert-Lewin for the impact he has had since his move to Leeds last summer. The striker left Everton after 9 years and has scored 9 Premier League goals for Leeds this season. Calvert-Lewin will come up against his former club tonight, and Moyes is hoping that they can keep him quiet.
We look forward to seeing Dom. We just didn't quite able to sort of make things work in whether it was us to keep him or whether it was Dom to stay, one or the other. But he's certainly got his fitness back anyway and scoring goals.
Kick-off tonight is at 8 o'clock. A win for Everton would move them up to 7th place in the league standings. On to Gaelic games, Michael Langan has been nominated for the GA's Player of the Week award. The St Michael's man delivered when Donegal required scores and leadership at Croke Park on a wet Saturday evening. Langan concluded an exciting encounter with a 6-point haul for Jim McGuinness's outfit in their victory over the Dubs. Tomás Kennedy of Kerry and Conor Turbitt of Armagh are the other two nominees. Voting closes tomorrow on the GA's official Instagram page. Michael is also named on the Team of the Week alongside fellow countryman Finbar Rorty, while Tyrone's Ethan Jordan is named on the Team of the Week for the first time ever after a strong showing against Kildare at the weekend. And there'll be lots of GA talk tonight on the DEL debate. Brendan Devaney looks at the league action with former county stars from Donegal and Kerry, Kevin Cassidy and Seamus Moynihan. Also on the programme tonight as well, sports editor of The Sun from Donegal, Jason Byrne. That's all part of the DL debate, which is live after the 7 o'clock news. The GA Higher Education Committee have announced that the finals of the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon Cups will be both played at Croke Park next month. The last Sigerson final to be played at GA headquarters was in 1985, and it was 86 when the last Fitzgibbon's decider took place there. The Sigerson Cup final will be played on Wednesday the 11th of February, with the Fitzgibbon final 2 days later on the Friday. Both matches will throw in at 7:35. To rugby, and it's all systems go for Ireland ahead of the start of the Six Nations Championship. They begin their campaign away to France in 10 days' time. Speaking at the tournament launch today in Edinburgh, Ireland captain Ciarán Doris says the squad is relishing their showdown in Paris next Thursday.
Something different, yeah. I mean, what day of the week is doesn't make too much of a difference to me, to be honest. I think it's going to be a hostile environment, 9 p.m. kickoff as well. So, yeah, what a stadium to be playing in to start the tournament off. I'm excited by it massively.
Donegal man Jared McGlynn captained the Republic of Ireland darts team to victory in the Islands International Tournament in Clare last night. The Glenfinn man led out the Irish side, securing impressive wins over Jersey, the Isle of Man and Guernsey. He was joined on the Ireland men's team by fellow Donegal player Adrian Devine. And World Cup winner Denise Cassidy was also part of the Irish ladies team that won their section in the tournament. To tennis, defending champion Jannik Sinner is through to the quarterfinals of the Australian Open after beating fellow Italian Luciano Daddari in straight sets. After struggling with the Melbourne Heat in his last match, Sinner says he coped better this time around.
Definitely, you know, a bit different when there is no sun, even if it's quite warm outside still. And it's also, you know, different opponent, you know, everything is different in every day. I felt quite good out there physically. Everything was okay today, and let's see what's coming in the next round.
There could be problems with the heat tomorrow. Temperatures are set to go to 45 degrees, so the outside courts will start at 9 a.m. local time. The roofs off the show courts are expected to be closed. And defending women's champion Madison Keys is out of the Australian Open. She lost in the fourth round earlier today to Jessica Pouliquen. And that's it from the sports desk for the moment, Donald. Don't forget the DL debates back on air at 7 o'clock this evening.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Donegal County Council says works are continuing to identify and resolve a fault affecting a section of the public lighting network on the Liffordbun carriageway of the Dry Arch roundabout in Letterkenny. They say the attempts to locate, identify and repair the fault is being exacerbated by the complexity of underground services in the area. The works began on Friday and they are taking longer than was initially anticipated. It's expected the works will take at least a further day to complete. Atlantis Area Councillor is urging Donegal County Council to consider a pilot programme to use mobile cameras to detect people littering on public roads. Councillor Michael McLafferty was commenting on the amount of litter on the N56 between Falkara and Gortha-Hawke. Rubbish discarded recently included glass bottles, aluminium, cans and pizza boxes. Councillor McLafferty says a response is needed.
Where I found it out there, look, there was just slightly a mile or slightly over a mile from either side, either town, from a bottle bank. Because there were bottles of wine in it, there were various other bottles and so on. Plastic bottles, BPM, a couple of 7-up tins, aluminium cans, pizza box, that type of stuff. All stuff that could have been taken home to recycled. And as I said, more than likely, I'd obviously threw out of a car, as well as other bits of rubbish as well. They were threw out of a car, but my point is, somebody was driving in either direction or both directions. Could have been different people, and probably different people I don't know. Or maybe the same person, but in fairness, the bottles were either side of the road, which would suggest two different cars, to be fair about it, possibly. And the reality is here, when they were passing either town, they could have just stopped momentarily and threw out the bottles, the cans, so on, etc., into the bottle banks instead of throwing them out along the road. We have to address this going forward. I will be on to our environment section as well going forward to see, and particularly anyway in these particular trouble spots, to see what is the story along our main roads or main ends, whatever, our back roads or national primary, secondary, so on, etc. To see what is the story, can we start setting up mobile cameras, discreet mobile cameras, on a pilot scheme, whatever, to try and catch these ones that are dumping the rubbish. And you know what, when they're caught in with their car registration and so on, find them.
And that was Councillor Michael McLaverty. The Agriculture Minister says investigations and testing are continuing in County Wexford following the outbreak of the blue tongue virus. The rare animal disease was confirmed in a cattle herd over the weekend, the first time it's been identified in this country. Earlier today, officials from the Department of Agriculture met with stakeholders, including farm organisations, to discuss the situation. Minister Martin Hayden says surveillance is ongoing.
And it's tracing animals which moved out of the affected herd to establish the degree to which disease may be present. While animal movement controls may be required if the circumstances indicate it, right now the veterinary epidemiological risk assessment is such that animal movement controls in that area are not necessary based on the information currently available.
And Sinn Féin is welcoming the deportation of a number of EU nationals who had been given custodial sentences. 32 Polish and Lithuanian citizens were deported on a charter flight from Dublin Airport yesterday and told not to return for up to 10 years. They ranged in age from their 20s to 60s and had been sentenced in relation to criminal offences. Despite the charter flight costing €122,000, Sinn Féin's justice spokesperson, Matt Carthy, welcomed it.
The vast, vast, vast majority of people who come to Ireland are law-abiding citizens. In the case of the tiny minority of those who come here who abuse the Irish welcome by becoming involved in serious criminality, then absolutely they should be deported. And the difficulty isn't that some deportations have taken place. It's that government have been far too slow in coming to this point.
Weather forecast: dull, wet and breezy this evening with outbreaks of rain turning heavy at times. That rain clearing northeast later on. Moderate to fresh southeasterly winds easing as the evening goes on. Mostly cloudy with patchy rain and drizzle tonight. More persistent rain spreading from the east overnight. Heavy at times in lowest overnight temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees Celsius. Moderate easterly winds increasing fresh to strong and gusty by morning. Gales developing on windward coasts. Wet and windy to begin tomorrow Tuesday with outbreaks of rain heavy at times. Some transient winter falls possible around about higher ground during the morning. Clearer, brighter breaks and showers following from further south for a time. Top temperatures tomorrow 5 to 8 degrees Celsius. In strong and gusty easterly winds, gales developing on coast. Rain will spread further over the course of tomorrow evening. Looking at the closing stories in brief before we go, and the Northern Ireland Assembly has been told variations in economic and social conditions on either side of the border mean life expectancy is different between Fermanagh and Donegal. And Donegal County Council has been debating a motion that meetings of the authorities' Defective Concrete Blocks Committee be live streamed. It's turned into a lengthy debate at County House in Lifford this evening. As soon as we have details of an outcome of that debate, we'll put those details up on HighlandRadio.com. We are, of course, back again with news at 7 o'clock. We'll have a report for that bulletin. And as we say, it'll be online before that as soon as we have the details to hand. But for now, from the news team, you can check all today's news, of course, on that website. And as I say, we're back with news again at 7. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 26th of January. The death has occurred of Peter J. Timoney, Ballymacool, Letterkenny. Peter's remains will repose at his late residence in Ballymacool until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock with rosary both nights at 9. A shuttle bus is operation from O'Donnell Park. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to St. Julian's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Margaret Maggie Curran, née Gallagher, Ards Creasla. Remains reposing at her late residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Wednesday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Lake House Comfort Fund, Port na Blá, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Sally Sarah Foy, Creggan, Stranorler. reposing at her home today from 6pm to 9pm and tomorrow from 10am to 9pm. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Private cremation on Thursday at Lakelands Crematorium in Cavan. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired directly to the Donegal Hospice or care of any family member. The death has taken place of Margaret Boyle, née Bonner, Mulladuff 9, Kincashla. Margaret's remains are reposing at Midlin's funeral home, Dunlow, with rosary at 8 o'clock tonight. Removal to her home after the rosary, reposing there tomorrow from 11am until 9pm. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Kincashla, on Wednesday morning at 11, followed by interment in Belcritch Cemetery. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Midlin Funeral Directors or any family member. And the death has taken place of Billy Wilson, Shanna Rafoe. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 12:30, going to Rafoe Presbyterian Church for service of thanksgiving at 1 o'clock. House private to family and close friends, please. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.